This program is brought to you by PrideNZ.com.
In a free country, freedom of speech is probably about the most important value we have, and so that's why we cannot have laws banning hate speech. People like Brian Tamaki, he's a scumbag piece of shit, but he has the right to express his shitty views, and we also have the right to call him out on how shitty those views are. That's what freedom's about.
What about people with free speech who are told to go kill themselves, or, you know, if trans people in particular?
If people tell you to jump off a bridge, do you do it? No, of course not. It is disgusting speech. It is disgusting speech, but that is part of living in a free country, and that is why you have the freedom to tell these people how disgusting they are.
That was ACT Party Representative Stephen Berry during the Rainbow Election Forum held at St Andrews on the Terrace, Wellington, on the 22nd of August 2017. A month earlier, on the 23rd of July, a sermon was preached by Pastor Robertson at the West City Bible Baptist Church in Auckland. It was then uploaded onto the internet and distributed via YouTube and SoundCloud. Here's a brief excerpt sourced from YouTube.
My view on homo marriage is that the Bible never mentions it. So I'm not against them getting married as long as a bullet goes through their head the moment they kiss. Because that's what it talks about. You know, not homo marriage, but homo death. Now, there's no such thing as homo marriage, and it's not even marriage anyway. But that's what should happen.
The police investigated the pastor and then dropped their investigation, stating to News Hub that no criminal offence has been committed. After the Rainbow Election Forum in Wellington, I asked as many party representatives as I could find about their thoughts on hate speech, and in particular, the Auckland pastor's recent sermon.
So my name's Damien Light. I'm party president for United Future and our spokesman for diversity. When I saw that information come out, that was last week, it was of two minds. I was thinking, he's a horrible person, don't want to give him any time, I'm just going to, like, block, you know, ignore that and just pretend that, you know, those horrible people don't exist. But then I remembered that's effectively condoning the actions, and it's endorsing it. Silence is not enough. We need to actually speak out against these things. So I've been quite strong saying that it's a horrendous thing. He needs to be called out on it. The good news is that he was investigated, but yeah, it's not a crime. And so we've talked about changing the Human Rights Act to make discrimination and hate against people based on their gender or how they self-identify as a crime. I think we need to call that out specifically. I think it's always been kind of implied that it is discrimination and it's wrong, but we need to be quite specific about it. I think we do need to be careful about censoring people. If you censor free speech, then you can end up in a kind of Orwellian kind of a controlled sort of police state. I don't think that's what we're talking about. We're not heading there. We're not even near there. We're talking about quite specific protections for people who frankly have been abused and discriminated against for so long. We're talking about giving them some protections. And the other thing is why I think it's important to talk about it and talk out against it is for other people who see it, and this is one of my passions, especially as a young person growing up, you see these comments being made and you see people supporting them, and if you don't see people speaking out against it, you think, oh, everybody else agrees with that. I'm alone in the world. Nobody, you know, I'm different. I'm not in a good way. I'm isolated. And so it's really important that political parties and the government in particular speaks out against these issues and this hate that comes out so that people can see that it's not acceptable and that people are standing up for them. And I think the government needs to take a stronger stance on that, even just simply coming out and condemning it. We talked a little bit before about issues around the world as well, and it's the same kind of thing. If we don't come out and actively condemn it, other people will see that silence, and they'll see that it's acceptance of it. And that simply isn't good enough. So we need to do more for that, particularly for our young people, I think, coming through, who see that as an issue and they see themselves being isolated.
So when you heard his statements, how did it affect you personally?
I was really angry. I saw it on Facebook and I sat there I was going to respond to it, and I sat there for a couple of minutes just sort of wanting to write, and all I could think of was, you know, not as equally bad, but some pretty horrendous sort of responses, what I thought of them or what, you know. But I realised that responding with hate doesn't solve any problems. I decided to take a slightly higher road and condemn what he'd said and why it was bad, and why we need to speak out against it. Personally, it really annoys me that he had done it, that he'd come out with it. And I originally thought I was annoyed because it was a New Zealand Herald article. I was upset that they'd reported on it, thinking they're giving this guy airtime. But again, it's that silence and ignoring it's not going to make it go away. So I guess it gave people the opportunity to speak out against it. So yeah, angry though would be my immediate response. Yeah, really angry.
Nicola Willis from the National Party.
So obviously those comments by that pastor were disgusting, and what was good to see was that they were widely criticised by a broad range of New Zealanders. I don't think anyone defended him, and that's right and proper. I think my concern with these issues is that where people make those comments, that we stand up and we condemn them for them.
Do you think we need actually hate speech legislation?
I wouldn't jump into that, because any legislation like that runs the risk of oppressing people's right to free speech. And when we look at the change that has happened in our community over time, often that has happened because people have been able to speak freely. But I don't think that the right to free speech means that you can be a complete idiot and be really nasty. Yeah, so whether or not legislation is required there isn't something, it's just not something I would jump into.
So you would defend his right to be able to say what he said?
I don't think he should have said what he said. I absolutely don't think he should have said what he said. And I think it was offensive and intolerable. And I think that's the message he will have received loud and clear.
So why do you think, the police came out saying that they couldn't prosecute him because he hadn't broken any law. Mm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that if I were him and I had received headlines across the country from people telling me that what I had said was disgusting, I would be reflecting right now and I would not be making those comments again. And I am glad that that's the way our New Zealand community works, that we turn on people who use such horrible speech.
So I'm Stephen Berry, I'm number 5 on the list for the ACT Party. I hate speech as much as anyone else, but I also believe in freedom of speech more than I dislike hate speech. The guy from West Auckland, what he said was absolutely disgusting. I absolutely unreservedly condemn it, but it's probably as disgusting as you can get without actually inciting violence. And, what value is free speech if we don't protect unpopular speech?
See, I would question that he wasn't inciting violence, because he did say actually that gay people should have bullets through their heads. So, why isn't that inciting violence?
If he was actually getting people together and organising them to go and put bullets through people's heads, that would be a different thing. If he was leading a rally, telling the people following him to put bullets through their heads, that would be inciting violence. It is a very, very fine line, and it's one that he danced a merry jig over, but it doesn't quite cross the threshold of incitement. But as I say, just because I believe passionately in freedom of speech, that is not an endorsement of the disgusting things this person has said. And the fact is that we have freedom of speech, not that we can talk about the weather, but because we can say very controversial things.
So would you back in any way any kind of hate speech legislation?
No, absolutely not. And the thing is, me and you talking about this disgusting prick is also hate speech. So, our ideas shouldn't be suppressed any more than his ideas should be suppressed. And the good thing about freedom of speech is that it shines the sunlight on the disgusting people in our country. If we did have restrictive hate speech laws, it'd probably be a bit quieter about them and we wouldn't be able to single them out. So. Freedom of speech will show more sunlight than any laws banning hate speech.
But surely there's a difference between somebody that might be, say, in a position where they're talking to a large congregation, and then you've got other more vulnerable members of society who can't actually step up and like you were saying in the forum here, that can't step up and say, actually, I think you're a disgusting prick. They don't have necessarily the wherewithal to do that.
Well, not everybody can play rugby either, but we don't make the rules of rugby easier so that everybody can score a try. Someone earlier asked me about, what if someone's telling me to commit suicide? But, you know, probably not a big surprise. People have told me to commit suicide, and you know what? I didn't do it.
But then some people do, and some people can't respond like that.
I understand that, and so I guess that's why politicians have a role in this society to stand up for those people. But we don't create a free society by passing laws which restrict freedom of speech. If you want to see a country where freedom of speech is restricted, look at Venezuela. It's an absolute disaster. Cuba, the whole of Eastern Europe before communism fell. And, you know, it's a pretty long list. And those countries are miserable, poor, terrible. People are locked up in jail for saying the wrong sorts of speech. Freedom of speech is the most important value we have in a free society. Unfortunately, you're going to get some scumbags who say things like that. But if we take steps like hate speech laws to ban them from doing it, well, we're just doing the same sort of fascist approach that those other countries I mentioned had.
So Jan Logie, Green Party MP and Rainbow spokesperson. So I've been following that in the media, along, I guess, with everyone else in the community being horrified by it, but made a decision not to speak publicly about it, because this is the second time that he's done that, and his congregation has grown since the first time, and I don't want to give him any more public attention in terms of that hatefulness, because I think he's in a process of trying to recruit based on those views. And I do think this is an example, though, that we do need to look at our hate speech legislation, and we also need to renew efforts of community building and establishing links between diverse communities and engaging some of the mainstream churches in some of that work with the more outlying churches.
I was really surprised the police coming out saying that they couldn't prosecute. There's no criminal act.
Yeah, and despite that being very being felt by many of us, I think, as a threat of violence and an incitement to violence, but I think it is a call for us to look at our legislation.
So what do you think could be changed in the legislation? What would you look at?
Yeah, see, I'm not exactly sure. That's, you know, the politician's answer when I don't have the answer. Is like, I think we need to review it and look to it, to what we need to do to be able to make sure that, you know, people aren't threatening violence against members of our community, and that whether that's through the Human Rights Act or whether that's, you know, another place that we need to be looking at that. Yeah.
I'm Philip Lynch with the Conservative Party. I'm not sure about hate speech laws as such, but I know we should absolutely abhor anything that denigrates anybody else for whatever reason. I mean, you can't build a country on hate. I mean, there have been plenty of examples of that through history, and they just fall over. You've got to build a country through love. And that means for everybody, we're all different, but that doesn't mean to say we're not special. Everybody is special, and everybody should be respected. Regardless of who they are or what they are. And I don't know that people might say you need a law, but should we need a law just to have people be decent to one another?
But then what happens when you do get, say, like the pastor in Auckland coming up with these quite extreme views? What do you do if you don't have a law against that?
Well, I don't know how many people are actually listening to him and doing anything other than ridiculing him and saying, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I mean, you could go in there, you could lock him up, I guess, and say that this man is mentally deranged. But, you know, I don't hear that there's a chorus of approval for what he's doing. And I think that's the answer. I think most people, the vast majority of people, abhor that sort of business. And I don't think you need actually a law to say what you're doing is wrong.
Hi, I'm Gael Adamalgoda from the Migrant Refugee Rights Campaign. I think it's interesting how if you defame an individual, particularly a wealthy individual, they'll take you to court and sue the pants off you, but you can defame and denigrate vulnerable groups. Look, I think freedom of speech is very important, and I support people's right to be wrong about certain things, you know, even if they're homophobic or racist. But when you, when you're a particular kind of person, you know, who's advocating, you know, killing minorities or whatever, these people aren't... they're not buying into freedom of speech, you know? If you look at the way, you know, fascists and Nazis have come to power, they don't they don't go around debating people, they go around shooting people in the head. I don't believe that laws are effective in smashing fascism and hate. I think communities are, but you know, hate speech legislation is not the worst thing in the world, according to me.
I think there is just one other comment. I think there are already laws about inciting people to violence, and you can be charged with those sort of laws. And I think that's where it lies. I mean, if people are saying to someone, you should go out and shoot that person in the head because you don't like the way they are, that's diabolical stuff. You know, that's a fascist response to people just living their own lives.
Yeah, I think it's just really, it's really important to bear in mind sort of like this trend of sort of right-wing fanaticism that's rearing its ugly head around the world, in Trump's America and in Europe. So we should take this kind of thing quite seriously. And sure, I hope that this person is mad. I'm sure he is. But, you know, as I said, you know, these people don't win by spreading good ideas. They win by doing violent things.